Mindful that there was a little bit of change in time over the night or in the morning, and we listened to a long gospel, there might be the assumption saying long gospel, short homily, but that maybe not is going to happen today. But I would like to focus on maybe three concepts or points. And the first question, though, that I want to pose to you is, when you think about the grumbling and the complaining of the first reading of the Israelites, that they were thirsty, to ask yourself just for a moment, how many different kinds of drinks or things do you have in your own refrigerator or in your home? It's just something to contemplate for a moment. But to think that maybe there is milk, water, juice, soda, lemonade, a sports drink. There could be some adult beverages and some other things that you may have. But to think of the abundance that we really have, and to know that when we physically thirst, that usually we have some accessibility and usually some way to have our thirst quenched. But this weekend, the readings both kind of focus on that concept of being thirsty and then digging a little deeper to think about how Jesus in the gospel meets this woman at the well. And so the well becomes a second point. And then the third point is really the gift that Jesus wants to offer this woman, which is life-giving water. But just for a moment to kind of go back to the Old Testament reading and some background. So obviously the Israelites have been in the desert, you know, on their journey. This is the third incident in which they have had, times of strife and difficulty, and they reach a point where they're kind of complaining and agitated because they lack, again, food or water, and they complain to God. But the last two times they did this, God responded and blessed them with food and with water to drink, along with water for their livestock. But the third time, they seem a little bit more, they're more verbal, and they really complain more to Moses, who then speaks to God, and then God does respond. But the reading ends with a question that I think is valid for us to contemplate for a moment, when we also can be in our own deserts of life and encounter hardship, struggle, loss, whatever it might be, that question, is the Lord in our midst or not? And where do we find the help, the strength, the reassurance of God? Being thirsty sometimes is God's way of reminding us of who we are and who He is. Now we move to the wonderful gospel story, and to know that this week and next week and the following week are three gospel selections from John that are just a little bit longer, but they always articulate stories that help us think about this mystery of us journeying during Lent and God calling us to new life. But especially to know that these readings have connections to the gift of baptism. And it's only cycle A that helps us kind of get this context. And after my homily, when it ends here shortly, we will celebrate the scrutinies, or the first scrutiny, which is a way for us to help and to pray for our two youth who are on the journey seeking baptism. But to know that there's God calling all of us to the gift of faith, and then even greater things. So we think about the well. Jesus is at the well. It's Jacob's well, so it has Old Testament connections. And then most of all, to know that Jesus is waiting there, and he sends his disciples in the town to get food and drink, and he's waiting at the well. It's about noon. And this woman comes, and he asks her, "Give me a drink." Now, the first thing is to know that obviously the disciples were shocked that he was speaking to a woman, but even more so if we know, again, in Palestine at that time, there were five different districts during the Roman occupation, and there was a lot of times hostility and tensions between these different groups, including the Samaritans and the Jews. So you can almost get a sense that Jesus was really taking a chance of even speaking with the woman, but then giving her a request or asking for a drink. And then she responds with saying, "How can you ask me for a drink?" And then she notices that he has nothing that would help him get a drink himself. He has no bucket, no glass, no jug, nothing. But he has a thirst, and he has a desire to most of all give her a drink. And thus we hear how the conversation unfolds. And maybe to think that really the well in the gospel could be possibly an equivalent to maybe a heart. And to think in all of us, we can't live without a heart. It's the reservoir that pumps blood and does all these wonderful things. But to think of how that well becomes this vehicle, this reservoir of God's gifts to unfold and to empower this woman into a great mystery and a gift of faith, of conversion, and then of she herself knowing that God reveals mercy, he reveals grace, and then the abundance of truth and life to her. Jesus, as he then converses with her, talks about giving her living water. And living water really is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so to think of that at Easter time, we not only celebrate baptism and the sacraments, but to say that we all renew our baptismal faith. And to think of the Spirit that is somehow this mysterious ingredient and power of God that helps us, renews us, and lifts us to new life. And so he, in this conversation, wants her to then thirst and to drink of the living water, the gift of his Spirit. And think of the second reading today. St. Paul says, you know, hope doesn't disappoint because the Spirit of God has been poured into our hearts so that we can know and have awareness of God's love, his care for us, his strength, the resolve that we need sometimes to confront life when it's difficult and dark and causes us to be weary. He offers her this gift. And then to think how this woman, after this conversation, to know that Jesus does not condemn her when he tells her he knows a lot about her, and sometimes her past is dark, but he calls her into light. He invites her then to go back and bring her husband, and then she confesses or he exposes the truth. But then he doesn't condemn her to death, but in a sense offers the mercy of God and his understanding. And then she becomes an instrument of God. She becomes what we might say an evangelizer in common day terms, because she goes back to her town and says, "Come and see this man. Come and discover Jesus, the one who told me everything I've done." And then to know that he doesn't want her to be less, but he calls her into more of new life, of love, of acceptance, and of goodness. I want to share with you a short story. It's not as long as the gospel, but bear with me. So it's about this person who says, "I've had many serious problems in my life over the years. I've been anxious, at times depressed, and even selfish. Everyone kept telling me to change. I resented them, and I agreed with them, and wanted the change, but simply couldn't, no matter how hard I tried. What hurt me the most was, like many others, my best friend kept encouraging and insisting that I change, and so I felt powerless and trapped. And then one day, another friend said to me, 'Don't change. I love you just as you are.' And these words were music to my ears. 'Don't change, don't change. I love you as you are.' I relaxed, I came alive, and finally I discovered that I can change. And I did change. And now I know that I really couldn't change until I found someone who would love me no matter if I changed or not." And to think of Christ offering this woman really that option because he loved her and he saw a hidden goodness. Jesus sees deeper into her heart and he knows that she is a woman who is worthy of goodness, because she's created in the likeness and image of God. She has her own personal dignity and value. But most of all, he continued to acknowledge with acknowledge her and validate her with compassion and goodness. The world judges, but Jesus saves. The world avoids, but Jesus engages. And so maybe as we continue our journey, preparing still for Easter, to know of Christ calling us to never give up seeking the living water, to be aware of our thirsts and our hungers, and then to have confidence that he at times will also ask us the question, give me a drink, and what will be our response?